Did you know that there was an attempt to assassinate President John F. Kennedy when he visited Springfield, Illinois in October of 1962? He was riding in an open convertible car while parading through Springfield on his way to honor our 16th President Abraham Lincoln at his tomb. On the route to Lincoln's tomb, a rifle was spotted pointed out a window in a two-story building towards the parade. Hey guys, welcome back to another exciting episode of the Whiskey and History Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, Zach Hohmeyer. And today, before we dive in on our 35th President John F. Kennedy, we have, of course, have to talk about what whiskey I'm drinking. I got this as another wedding gift. It is called Fox and the Odin, a double-oaked straight bourbon whiskey produced in small batches. This is what it says on the bottle. It smells really good and strong. It's made in Michigan, and I can't wait to try it for the first time with you guys. So let's give it a shot. It smells good. Got a good strong odor. Let's see if it bites back. Ooh, that stuff is smooth. You put a little water in it. Drinking it on the rocks. But anyway, guys, let's dive in because I know this is a topic that not very many of us knew about, including myself. So just recently, November 22nd, 2023, marked the 60th anniversary of John F. Kennedy's assassination. For those of you who don't know, John F. Kennedy was shot several times by a lone gunman named Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas, Texas, when he visited the city in November of 1963. There have been countless conspiracy theories on what has happened on that dreadful day in U.S. history. I just recently watched a new documentary that came out on Paramount Plus about the doctors that tried to save his life right after he was shot. Those first doctors that worked on him all believe that there were multiple gunmen due to the angles that the president was shot, since he was shot, you know, in the front, through the throat, and then like through the front of his head, and then the bullet like exited the back of his head, and then there was a bullet like went through the back, through his shoulder. How the story goes that Lee Harvey Oswald shot 3 shots on the president Kennedy, and they all came from behind. But according to these doctors, there's multiple gunshot entry wounds that came from the front. The classic Superuto film, if you watch that, I highly recommend looking it up. You can literally see JFK get the front of his head blown off and his head jerks backwards. So obviously, there's lots of conspiracies, lots of stuff to go into that. But we're not here to talk about what happened in Dallas, Texas, unfortunately. But again, do your own research, because like I said, there's hundreds of theories. I highly recommend that you watch this documentary because it'll really open your eyes. That is really all I'm going to say on that. But, since it's been 60 years since his death, more articles appear about Kennedy, and my older cousin Tessa came across a Fox News article talking about another motorcade incident that occurred about a year before in a town called Springfield, Illinois. I could not believe what I was reading, so of course I said that I have to do my own research on this topic as soon as possible, because I've never heard of this. In my research, I can confirm that the article is telling the truth. When I was doing my own research, there was a possible assassination attempt in Springfield. So shout out to my cousin Tessa for bringing this to my attention so I could make a podcast episode for all you guys. So I'm really excited to dive into all the research that I've done on this. But anyway, you guys are here to hear what happened to our 35th president when he visited the land of Lincoln in October of 62. So just a little bit of year prior before his actual death. President Kennedy came to Springfield to endorse Democratic candidates for Congress. Kennedy's main focus was on the behalf of U.S. Representative Sidney R. Yates, who was a candidate for U.S. Senate. The president's trip consisted of him of visiting Lincoln's tomb at Oak Ridge Cemetery and then head over to the Illinois State Fairgrounds to deliver a 12-minute speech at the Coliseum and then head to Chicago after all that. So his trip was only supposed to be like an hour, maybe 2 hours at max. So this would be Kennedy's second trip to Springfield since he came back from the last time he visited was 1959 while campaigning for president. When researching Kennedy's visit in the Springfield newspaper, I was shocked to find that the day before the president arrived, they put his motorcade route from the airport to the tomb of Lincoln and then his final destination, like a map of it in the paper. So that does not look good. And the paper also put the exact times when Kennedy was expected to arrive at Lincoln's tomb and when he left and when he finally made it to the Coliseum to give a speech. So this is what the paper said. The president's schedule here will be a tight one. Following his arrival at the airport at 2:15 p.m., he will go to Oak Ridge Cemetery, where he is due to place a wreath at 2:30 p.m. His caravan will move south from the airport on Walnut Street Road to the west gate of Oak Ridge and enter the cemetery there. Riding with the president will be Yates and Kerner at the tomb. The governor will accompany Kennedy to the crypt. The president is scheduled to leave the tomb at 2:45 p.m. and arrive at the Coliseum at 3 p.m. He will leave the cemetery by the way of Monument Avenue, taking the street south to North Grand Avenue. The caravan will then move east on North Grand to 5th Street, north 5th Street to Sangamon Avenue, and east on Sangamon to the main gate of the State Fairgrounds at 11th Street. There, the president's party will enter the grounds and go directly to the Coliseum. As you guys just heard, this was a really detailed description of the exact events that were about to occur the following day. If that wasn't already enough details, the paper also, like I said earlier, had a huge map with the route highlighted and the schedule abbreviated to the exact times when Kennedy was, all his stops were. So right below the map, there was like a little spot where it just had like all the dates or all the times at each place and when he was supposed to leave. So you could like easily cut that out of the paper and like put that in your pocket and just as a quick reference to know where the hell the president was going, which is not good. The sad thing is that a year later, when Kennedy was actually assassinated, the Dallas newspaper did the same exact thing, that everyone would know every street the president would be going down in his motorcade. So obviously they didn't learn from the possible, like what almost happened here in Springfield. Despite the paper detailing all the events, the Springfield Police Department and the Illinois State Police have been working closely with the Secret Service for the big arrival of the president. Fred Backstorm was a special agent in charge of the Springfield Secret Service office, who was also in charge of every detail of the president's local itinerary and to ensure his safety. Several men from the White House Secret Service came to Springfield a few days earlier to help plan for the trip. The route for the parade was planned carefully and driven several times to check the exact amount of time it would take for the motorcade to get from the airport to the tomb and then eventually to the Coliseum. All the individuals who were living along the route were quickly checked for any potential dangers and any possible spots for a sniper to hide was noted. And like I said, keyword there, just noted. There were also communication men sent from Washington to handle the special communications needed by the president. The president at all times has what is called, according to the paper, a hotline to Washington on which he could talk anywhere in the world. There were hotlines installed at Lincoln's tomb and the Coliseum. When Kennedy visited Springfield, this was right in the middle of the Cuban Missile Crisis. They had to make sure Kennedy was prepared to handle this crisis at a moment's notice. Prior to the arrival of Kennedy, the Secret Service also screened any letters to the president threatening bodily harm, and some were interviewed. Again, the Backstorm, the Secret Service agent, said if anyone had seemed particular dangerous court proceedings to commit than to an institution would have been undertaken. The Secret Service also provided pictures and descriptions of any potential troublemakers who might be traveling into the Springfield area during this time. These pictures were given to all working police. It seemed that all the proper preparations were made by Backstorm, like all Secret Service agents take the safety of the president as a personal responsibility. That all of them do is witnessed by the fact that no president guarded by the Secret Service has ever been assassinated. That was a quote from the paper that did not age well, because we just know, like 13 months later, the Secret Service fails miserably to protect the president. So on Friday, October 19th, before President Kennedy arrived at the airport, the Secret Service was working with a crew of bomb experts and minesweepers to make sure there were no threats to the president's life. Everything was so far so safe for the president's arrival. Then Kennedy landed at Springfield Capital Airport with a massive crowd of 4,000 to 5,000 people eagerly waiting to greet their president. Kennedy walked off Air Force One dressed in a light blue suit, was in great spirits, and appeared relaxed and radiated with confidence, which was shocking since, again, this was in the middle of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And my mom told me she was even there with her older brother and dad to catch a glimpse at the young president at the airport. Once Kennedy got off the plane, he was greeted by Governor Kerner with a warm handshake. Kennedy then moved towards the massive crowd and began shaking hands with all the bystanders and waving to them as well. So it was a happy day. It was a beautiful autumn day as well, noted by the paper. Everyone was super excited to see their president. It was a perfect day. There could be nothing that could possibly go wrong. So the Secret Service and the bomb experts quickly moved on to make sure that the rest of the route was safe for the president, which included, of course, Lincoln's tomb and the Coliseum, which, of course, they did not find anything, which is good. So when it came to the motorcade, President Kennedy decided that he wanted to ride in an open convertible so that everyone could see him parade through Springfield. The motorcade was laid out with the first car was the state police car, which acted as the scouting vehicle to warn of any possible trouble ahead of the president. So the column could take an alternate route. It also scouted the buildings and houses along the way for any possible snipers. Then came a city police car of the caravan. It too was scouting for possible trouble spots. Two Secret Service men were in each of the vehicles. About 150 yards behind came the president's car with Kennedy, Governor Otto Kerner, and Representative Sidney Yates. Also in the car was an assistant special agent in charge of the White House detail. Almost bumper to bumper with that of the president was a car containing Secret Service agents equipped with rifles, riot guns, and Tommy guns. It's honestly safe to say that Kennedy had a good security detail that was surrounding him. The only problem, of course, is him riding in an open vehicle. President Kennedy was off to Lincoln's tomb, smiling and waving at all the crowds of people, excited to get a glimpse of their president. The Springfield paper reads that the police arrest two youths aged 19 and 16 for investigation, but would not explain details. The arrest sheets were marked, "Hold for the Secret Service." During my research, this is all I could find in the Springfield paper about these two young men being arrested during Kennedy's trip. So right there, there's a lot of concern going on here. So that basically confirmed the article I read, that there was a rifle spotted. And it's like all the paper said that everything went smooth besides there's two young men arrested. They had a sheet marked "Hold for the Secret Service." Why is that? Obviously, there's something pretty big there that the paper would say that. So, according to a 2016, just recently, a declassified document from John F. Kennedy Presidential Library Museum, according to this document, on his way to Lincoln's tomb, two men were spotted along the motorcade route with a rifle. after Kennedy's motorcade had driven by, but before it was scheduled to return on the same route some 30 minutes later, the Secret Service would later report that a few minutes after the motorcade passed, an employee of the Illinois Department of Public Safety saw a rifle barrel, with a telescopic sight protruding from a second-story window. Two men, brothers-in-law, aged 20 and 16, were taken into custody. The report continued that a .22 caliber semi-automatic rifle and a full box of .22 long rifle ammunition was seized. Both of the men did admit to the Secret Service that they were pointing the rifle out of the window on the parade route. However, the young men claimed that they had merely been testing out the power of the telescopic sight to determine if they could get a better look at the president. Sorry, I like laugh at just reading that. I don't know what you guys think, but to me, that's not a very good excuse to be pointing a rifle to get a better look at your president. But according to the report, there was no evidence on the contrary, and neither man had any previous criminal record. And so they didn't prosecute either one of these men later on. But again, that's like really shocking just to even fathom, like, hey, here comes, you know, my 35th president. Instead of like getting out some binoculars or going down on the street, I'm just going to get out my rifle with a scope on it and see if I can get a good look at my president. I just don't buy that. I'm sorry. It's like laughable. Like, I'm shocked that even happened here. But again, going on with the story, President Kennedy just barely dodged death at the height of the Cuban Missile Crisis when the country needed him most. He was extremely lucky to have survived such a close call in Springfield. But again, unfortunately, he does not get so lucky 13 months later, of course, in Dallas, Texas, in the same exact identical situation. But President Kennedy made it safe to Lincoln's tomb, where he paid his respects to our 16th president, Abraham Lincoln. He laid down a wreath in his honor. And then when he made it to the state fairgrounds, he was greeted by thousands of loyal Democrats who came out to cheer him on. I was able to find his speech at the JFK Presidential Library Museum. The cool thing about his speech is it's actually considered public domain, which means I can play it for you guys here on the podcast, which I was really excited. Don't worry, I'm not going to play the whole thing, not all 12 minutes. But I will play about the first minute. It's got a lot of humor in it. And so you guys listen to that real quick and enjoy.
I carried Illinois by the overwhelming margin of 8,000 votes. And you're all here today. And I'm glad to see you. I hope that you're going to be available in 1964. We may need you all over again. Governor Kerner, my old colleague, Senator Douglas, ladies and gentlemen, you're very brief with your candidates, and I'd like to have some of them stand up, particularly those who are running this year on the state, particularly those who are running in the Congress. You're a great congressman and an old colleague and friend of mine, Peter Mack. I'd like to have him stand up.
I hope you guys like the intro to Kennedy's speech. And if you want to listen to the rest of it, I will post the link to the whole speech in the description below. Like I said, it's only about 12, maybe 13 minutes long. It's a fun, neat little speech just hearing a president speak in your hometown. So, yeah, I really kind of enjoyed it. And the Springfield paper praised Kennedy by him starting his speech with a humorous note stating that I carried Illinois by the overwhelming margin of 8,000 votes, and you are all here today, and I'm glad to see you. It is funny that he makes that comment because it's estimated around 7,500 people actually went to the Coliseum to hear him speak. So basically he's joking that like all the votes that he needed to win were actually there to see him. And it's just kind of crazy because he barely won the state of Illinois. 8,000 votes is a very, very small margin to win. I've also learned recently from one of my other cousins, Mitchell, that Kennedy supposedly stole the 1960 election in Chicago with the mafia's help. This is something, again, that I've never heard before, and this could be something I could do on a future podcast episode, but of course, I need to do my own research before I can form my own opinion on that matter. But if you just Google that, I did find a lot of interesting things on that. But again, that's another kind of conspiracy, or maybe there's some truth to that, but we'll leave that to maybe a future episode. After his speech, Kennedy went directly back to Springfield Capital Airport to fly to Chicago. Next, what shocks me most about this story is that the Secret Service did not even inform President Kennedy about the situation that, hey, there was someone pointing a rifle at the basically at the motorcade and possibly may have shot you later if on the way back, but they didn't. They just decided not to disclose any of this information to the president. And what's also shocking about it is they did not even learn from this incident. If they would have learned something from this, it possibly would have saved his life 13 months later in Dallas. Like, hey, let's stop having the president ride in an open motorcade, or hey, let's not post his route in the paper the day before so everyone in the world knows where the hell he's going. Sadly, of course, that's not what happened, and we have learned so much from the Kennedy assassination, like I'm saying, not allowing a president to parade through major cities in an open convertible, or not posting his route in the paper. And those are huge, huge things that this could have been maybe prevented. And like reading about this just shocks me. Like, this even happened in my hometown. Like, I cannot even believe this even was a close call. But again, I conducted all my research in the Springfield newspaper archive, like I always do. I had to get those primary sources to confirm just in my own mind that, hey, I'm not just feeding you guys a bunch of bullshit. Where I found my information. Besides, I also read several NPR articles about the incident. The John F. Kennedy Presidential Library and Museum, I also got a lot of my information from. I will post plenty of links in the description from the several articles about the gunman. JFK's speech in Springfield for your listening pleasure. I really hope you guys enjoyed this new episode of the Whiskey and History Podcast. The podcast keeps growing, and I appreciate everyone who listens to the show. I really do, from the bottom of my heart. Make sure, though, please turn on those notifications so you know when I post new episodes. And also, don't forget to rate the show. I appreciate all the people that have already done that. Also, do not forget that you can always reach out to me for any questions on any of my social media, or you can email me. I had several people reach out to me from my last episode with plenty of questions, so do not hesitate to reach out to me. I love talking and interacting with everybody. And lastly, follow me on all my social media, links in the description below. Thanks, guys, for listening again, and I hope you enjoyed this episode.